This is Ozarks at Large. I'm Antoinette Grajeda. Austin-based musician Joe Pug says he had never been to Fayetteville prior to last year, but since last fall, he's come to Northwest Arkansas three times. The first time was to open for James McMurtry at George's Majestic Lounge, and the second time included a performance on the 2013 Fayetteville Roots Festival main stage. Most recently, he returned to George's last month to headline an intimate Monday night concert. While he was in town, he stopped by the Furman Garner Performance Studio. During our conversation, he discussed why he moved to Chicago, the place where his professional music career began.
I dropped out of college and I wanted to move. I knew I couldn't move back home to Maryland where my folks were because I didn't want to go back there with my tail between my legs, you know. So I had to strike out and I had a buddy that lived in Chicago who had just moved there. And so I knew that there was a couch I could crash on. So that's what I did. I just moved there, and within a week, I had a job, and I had a room I was renting in like a group house. And that was before, you know, I even called my folks to let them know that I had dropped out. So I just moved there to move there. I didn't move there to play music. I just had to move somewhere new. That's all.
So where does carpentry come in? Because I know you were a carpenter for a while, and that doesn't seem like something you just pick up.
Yeah, well, my dad was a carpenter.
Oh, okay.
And, I was never a very good carpenter. I mainly just grabbed coffee for and cleaned up after the good carpenters, and that's kind of what I did for my dad, too. But, I could frame a wall. I can do a few things, but I was never very good.
Did your dad have his own company? Did he make you help him out as
a
kid?
Yeah. Well, you know, I'd go and help him out, but he was pretty, it wasn't something that he wanted me to follow in or anything like that. You know, he was a musician before he did that. Basically till he kind of had me, I guess. And when he had me, he had to get serious and make some dough. So he started building houses, but it was never anything that he, you know, wanted to be carried on as a family tradition or anything like that.
So what kind of musician was your dad? What did he play?
He was a piano player and a songwriter, and he played, I mean, it was just straight up rock and roll bands. You know, their heroes were the band. Mm-hmm. And a lot of their records sound a lot like that.
Did he teach you to play anything?
He taught me my first couple chords on the guitar, and he taught me a lot about music. He played all that old stuff for me, the band, John Hiatt, Oren Zevon, and he really introduced me into that, you know, the great culture of the American troubadour.
So at what point did you switch from carpenter in Chicago to musician in Chicago?
Well, I was always doing the music thing at night and the carpentry thing during the day, and then the financial crash of 2008 came, and that really, I mean, all the work dried up in Chicago, carpentry-wise, and I just released my first album by coincidence at the same time, and it was starting to get some good press, and we had the opportunity to play some shows based on that, and so it was strange. It was a very natural transition from having less work in the carpentry realm and having more work playing music, and that was 5 years ago, and I haven't had to swing a hammer since, which, I, you know, it's a good thing.
Well, moved again to Austin in 2010, 2011?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Why Austin? Because I would imagine, but at that point, you would have picked up, you know, developed a fan base there in Chicago. Mm-hmm. And
I was just ready for a move. I like to move around. I don't like to stay in the same place necessarily too long. And I didn't want to move to Nashville, and I didn't want to move to Los Angeles, so I ended up in Austin.
Why not Nashville? Why not Los Angeles? I mean, I understand these are all musical cities.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I wanted to move to a musical city, but Nashville was a little too... they take the songwriting thing, like, so seriously there, like, almost to a fault, like, I think, you know, it's just... it's this big psychological thing of, like, you know, of writing and writing with other people. And, like, it to me, it really kind of sapped the joy out of it. The idea of that kind of sapped the joy out of it. And I got a lot of friends that live in Nashville and love it. Don't get me wrong. I'm not trying to bag on the place too much. But, you know, songwriting for me has always been a personal thing and a thing that is supposed to be the whole joyous part of the endeavor. And I just never wanted to codify that in the way that I felt like I'd have to in Nashville. And then Los Angeles was just too far away from my family in Maryland. I couldn't make the mental lift to just be on opposite coasts from them. So Austin it is.
So with songwriting, are you necessarily opposed to writing with someone else?
Yeah, I mean, for myself, I am. Mm-hmm. I just don't.
You don't work that way.
Yeah, I just don't work that way. I think you have to make so many compromises in the rest of your life, you know, personally and professionally, that the writing part is the one place, like, where I don't want to make a compromise with somebody else. You know, I want to do this my own way. And I feel like if someone else has a really good idea for a song, I'm not really going to do anything for them. And if I have a really good idea for a song, I don't want to share that with someone else. I just want to do it myself, you know? So I'm a big fan of other songwriters, both from earlier generations and my generation. I listen to a lot of them, and I'm a fan. But, you know, I just don't... I wouldn't want to work in that other way. You know, and some people do, but that's not me.
Are there certain themes that you try to stick to in your music, or is it just kind of all over the place?
Well, I mean, I don't really censor myself as to what I'm writing, but I will say that I do finish a lot of stuff, and I say to myself, well, that's an all right song, but it's not a Joe Pug song right there. You know, like, I think that there's a very specific voice that, that, you know, this name lends itself to, and that people kind of expect from it, and that I expect from it. And so, you know, I keep all those other songs. I don't know whether they'll end up, but yeah, I do toss away a lot of stuff to say, no, that's not in the voice of this project here, you know.
So what is a Joe Pug song?
It's it'd be kind of hard to describe, but, you know, like, there's a certain narrator's voice that, like, wouldn't use certain words even, you know, like, I would never use, like, and I couldn't tell you why, but I'd never use, like, the word computer in a song, or I'd never use the word, you know, there's just different words that are just not in that voice, that I would just never. And I don't know, it's just kind of an intuition thing as to what works and what doesn't.
Fair enough. Well, you brought your guitar. Can we hear a Joe Pug song?
Yeah, absolutely. I'd love to.
Perfect.
It's been so very long. I know that you're here to surrender the disappointing days I suffered at your age were more than I'd care to remember. Before you throw the towel and turn your engines out, don't expect to spit all that you tasted from your mouth. After all you've seen, the most you'll hope to be is pretending to be a pretender. The years that I've been through, a gentle view, who say that they love and they mean it. The others that I met, they're decent folks, I guess. But all that they love is achievement. The swagger and the dress, the trappings of success. The butter and the milk of what it takes to get ahead. Any given night, you catch them dead to rights, painting their name on the ceiling. Remember in the end that many of your friends rather be dead than uncertain. They want a simple yes, or even better yet, a promise the next life is perfect. I promise that it's not, but then what have they got? Only 50 years, they never gave a moment's thought. Anyone they find who tells them otherwise, they'll follow him backwards and shirtless. Welcome home, my son. It's been so very long. I know that you're here to surrender.
Thank you. And the title of that one was?
A Gentle Few.
A Gentle Few. I do want to ask you about another one of your songs. You were most recently in the area back in August for the Roots Festival. Mm-hmm. And during one of your performances, and then I saw you while you were in town, I think it was The Great Despiser mm-hmm. that you were talking about before you played it, saying that it's one of those songs that you got into the studio and then added a bunch to it.
Yeah.
But you actually like it with less.
Yeah.
I was really interested by that because so often I feel like I hear songs and that's my perspective. I like things simpler. I like it, mm-hmm. whatever. But musicians tend to like more.
Yeah.
Can you tell me a little bit about what happened with this song? Did you write it very simply? And then was there pressure to add extra stuff once you got into the studio?
No,
or
there's not pressure. It's
just what happened with the song?
I don't know what happened. It is The Great Despiser, and we ended up doing a big rock version of it. And actually, you know, when I wrote the song, I did hear it in that way. I think that it can be done in a rock and roll type of way, but I think a lot of artists will like to add a lot of stuff to their songs. In a way, it's something to hide behind. Production can be something that you hide behind. I think this particular song is better when it's not hiding behind anything, when the song is just laid out before people very simply.
So do you always play it simply when you do it live? Because the couple times I've heard you, it's been the simpler version.
Yeah. We've, for about a year after we released the album, we played the big version of it, and it just wasn't connecting with people live. It just was not getting across. And that's the point of a show and the point of a song, is to communicate, some aspect of the human experience and have some sort of communion with people that come to a show. And it wasn't communicating, and so then we stripped it back like this, and it's become a tentpole moment in the show for us, I think.
With your songs, have you been able to sort of test them out on audiences before they go on an album so that you know this ahead of time?
You know, this was the big mistake we made with the last album, is we thought to ourselves, we're not going to play anything live, and it'll just be this big surprise when we release it. And in retrospect, it was a mistake, because since we're a live band, we learn so much interacting with audiences, and that's a lot of how we make our decisions. And so to take that out of the writing process for our last album, The Great Despiser, I think was a mistake. So for the album that we're working on now, we've been playing a lot of new stuff live to work it out, and it's been great, and I think it's going to make a huge difference with the album that we record this winter.
Any idea when we might be able to get our hands on it?
Yeah, we'll have it out by the summer, I'm sure. I think, you know, once we decide to record it, we're just going to do it in a very simple way, and it shouldn't take too long to record it at all. It's the writing and arranging process that's taking such a long time.
Can you give us a sneak peek of what we can expect from this album, since it's not going to be a big surprise? What's going to be on the album, or maybe some songs that you...
Yeah, I'd love to play one for you right now.
Oh, that would be great.
Yeah.
If they're going to make a shadow out of me, well, I guess I'll be the shadow of that post oak tree in the forest by your house where we used to meet. If they're going to make a shadow out of me, if they're going to make a shadow out of you, well, I hope to catch the briefest glimpse as you go passing through, as the shadow of the Lincoln we drove to school. If they're going to make a shadow out of you, lines will disappear as we grow darker, darker than we planned for at the start. Light of morning will get even farther until at last you can't tell us apart. So if they're going to make a shadow out of us, casting downward to the valley from an Appalachian bluff, I was born, then I loved you, I guess that was enough. If they're going to make a shadow out of us, if they're going to make a shadow out of us,
was Austin-based singer-songwriter Joe Pug inside the Firman Garner Performance Studio. He stopped by KUAF while he was in town for a performance last month. You can find more information about the musician at joepugmusic.com.